Let me read Matthew 3:13. It says that Jesus came up to be baptized. And nothing in Jesus' life, nothing of significance, happened in Jesus' life until he was baptized. Did you know that? Let me read it to you. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Remember John the Baptist? And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized from you, so no way I'm going to baptize you. You're a son of God. I need to be baptized by you. And you are coming to me? This is John. I can't. You're perfect. I am imperfect. And listen to Jesus. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Huh. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. We don't want to be just believers in our heart. We want to be believers in our actions as well. And water baptism is the first step to that action, people. All right? And then look at this. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And notice, they didn't bring blankets. They didn't bring towels or change of clothing. They just came to listen to a preacher, right? In the desert, by the Jordan River somewhere. Some oasis type thing. And they came in and they heard the news. And guess what they did? They got baptized. And so how long do I have to wait to be baptized? As soon as you believe, you could be baptized. And so Jesus came in, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heaven opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning upon him. Whoa. Now, nobody else might have saw it except John, but it says he saw it. Who? Jesus. He saw a Spirit coming down on him like a dove and resting on him. And from that moment on, let's continue reading. Spirit of God descended like a dove and aligning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It pleases Jesus. It pleases our God for you to be baptized. Then this is what he says today over these three people. This is my beloved sons, and this is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, they're not perfect yet. Nobody is. Will never be. But Jesus is saying, this is my sons, this is my daughter. I am pleased in this act. Hallelujah. Clap your hands. Come on. And then Bible says Jesus was led to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days, the greatest ministry in the world has begun, casting out demons, healing the sick. Three of you have great gifts inside of you, but they're not going to be revealed unless you are baptized, unless you're pleasing to God, unless you're tested. And God wants to use whatever gift that he gave each one of us. Hallelujah. You know that Paul was a killer. He was called Saul of Tarsus. He murdered Christians. He hated them. Suddenly, on the road to Damascus, he encounters a light, and Jesus speaks to him, and he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting. It's hard for you to go against the spear. And he says, Lord, what should I do? He says, go, and it should be told to you what to do. And when he goes in, Ananias, the prophet, comes and says, you need to be baptized. And what Paul does? The greatest apostle of all, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, is baptized. Let me show you in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I just want to read one verse. And it says, immediately after, you know, remember Paul was blinded. His eyes were blinded because of the light. And immediately fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received the sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Let me go a little bit backwards. First church, this is the first sermon of Peter. Peter preaches, people were asking Peter, what should we do? And then he says, and with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who are gladly received the word were baptized. Same day they received and they baptized. Church, get ready. We're going to have a lot more baptisms happening. As long as we have 2-3 people, we're going to baptize. We're going to fill this tub. Sometimes we'll do it at the lake, but most of the time we're going to do it here, because it's not about where you are. It's about what it represents. It's the symbol. I am being buried underwater. Jesus was buried in a tomb on our behalf. And I just symbolically say that I've been buried on His behalf by faith. Now, have I been buried? No. Have you been buried? No. But by faith, I accept that I've been buried. So it was my tomb up there that I was buried. But guess what? He didn't stay in the tomb. Just like you won't stay underwater. I won't keep you there too long. I will lift you up just like God lifted Jesus up. Hallelujah. Praise God. And listen to this. Then that day about 3,000 souls were baptized to them. 3,000 people were baptized, and then Bible says they were added onto the church. Baptism is the step that adds you to the church. Before, you're just regular attender. We love you. God loves you. But after that, you're added and you become officially part of the church. Officially. It's a big deal. Why? Because when church prays, it's different when individual prays. God hears the church. Do you remember when Peter was in prison? There were 16 soldiers bound to him by chains. And Bible says church was praying. And God sent an angel and he untied him and they were still sleeping. Walked him and freed him. And Peter walks in, knocks on the door, and they're like, it must be his spirit. It can't be Peter. He's in prison. 16 soldiers. Herod wants to cut his head off. See, when church prays, there's difference. You have power when you become part of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Today, He's adding 3 more blocks to the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, hate will... Go ahead, clap. Thank you, Lord. That's not me, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. They will push, they will huff, they will puff, but the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Will never destroy it, never. You want to be a part of that. Now, gates of hell could and will destroy a person who's individual, who's by themselves. I'm just here by myself. I'm a lone cowboy Christian. He will destroy you. But against the church, he can never prevail. Because if one is struggling in the church, the whole church is struggling. We are praying for him. We're holding him up. But when you're on your own, who's going to encourage you? Who's going to help you? That's why Jesus didn't just build individuals. He built a church. And it's, you know, people have been trying to destroy church. They've been trying to destroy the Bible. You know, Khrushchev said that he will put the last Bible in museum under the glass. He's dead and Bibles are everywhere. It's just spreading. Another man said, famous atheist, said that Bibles are going to be just forgotten memory, forgotten books. And now in his house, they have put a press where he used to be a famous writer. They put a press printing Bibles. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? Amen. Amen. So they've tried for 2,000 years. They came up with every argument and the Bible still stands. Because you can't destroy spirit. You can't destroy spirit of this word. Hallelujah. If Jesus was not ashamed to be baptized, you shouldn't be ashamed to be baptized. Those of you who are not baptized, consider being baptized. And I know it might be uncomfortable. It is. I mean, you know, changing kind of, you know, we don't like that. That's private. However, this is a part of obedience and our humility before the Lord. There was an Ethiopian eunuch riding in a chariot. He was the treasurer of Queen of Ethiopia. He's writing, reading the Bible. Doesn't understand anything. God says to Philip, go and walk by him. And Philip started walking by his chariot and hearing him read out loud. And he said, do you understand what you're reading to that Ethiopian? And the guy said, no, I don't. Can you explain to me? Who's this talking about? So Philip jumps in the chariot with him. They ride alone. and he starts explaining to him everything. They came to this water. I don't know, it was a little lake or river. And he said, eunuch says, there's the water. What is stopping me from being baptized? And let me read this to you. Now, as they went down the road, they came to this, to some water. And eunuch said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And this is the qualification. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And in an answer, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the question we're going to ask. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. Then Philip, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, this is a miracle. This is the craziest miracle in the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch did. And Philip appeared and found in Azotus. That's the city. You know what history tells us? That one eunuch went to Ethiopia. And because of him, there is great move of God in Ethiopia. Because of that one eunuch, there are so many churches in Ethiopia. And they've been there for 2,000 years. Because of one eunuch. And little baptism. And Philip was taken away. That's teleportation in the Bible. He was taken, he disappeared, and he appeared in another place, Bible says. Oh, I would want to be obedient to God. If God says, go over there, there's a guy going to be driving in a, you know, on a horse. You know, you go walk by him or run by him, you know. You never know what God is going to do. Obedience. Philip was obedient. Eunuch was obedient because of the eunuch. And I'm going to meet that eunuch in heaven. I'm going to talk to him. Well, we got eternity, right? Amen. Amen.